Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. Today is November 6, 2024. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 43,729, the NASDAQ at 18,983, and the S&P at 5,929. Tonight was going to be a market review of the third quarter, but we're also going to talk about some of the impact of today's election. We are live, election results, I should say. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Cindy and Bob are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and they'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available through yourfinancialchoices.com. My guest this evening is Bill Henderson. He's Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors. He joined the team with more than 30 years of experience, including 26 years at BlackRock. Bill leads the firm's investment department, chairs the Internal Investment Committee, and directs all investment research efforts. In this role, he provides investment analysis and assists the advisory teams with portfolio strategy and asset allocation direction. He meets frequently with representatives from global asset managers to discuss their views about the economy and financial markets, and he lends his own current market observations and Valley National Financial Advisors, the weekly commentary email newsletter. Bill is a native of Pennsylvania and received his undergraduate and graduate degrees from Penn State University in the areas of finance and investments. Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you, Lori. It's good to be back.
Thank you for coming on. Lots to talk about, and ordinarily it would be our third quarter market review, and I think you'll probably weave in some commentary on that as we talk about the most the news at the forefront of today's headlines, which is the win by former President Trump. So the markets seem to react today. So ordinarily, because you're here to talk about the markets, why don't you give us your thoughts on what we experienced today?
So, yeah, the markets reacted pretty favorably to the election news. And I don't think it was just the fact that Trump got elected. I think it was the fact that he got elected in a fairly substantial way with, you know, both definitely taking control of the Senate and most likely taking control of the House, which means he comes in with a pretty clear mandate from the American people, like, you know, his policies are what they want him to impact. And I think the market said, okay, what can we expect now? And, you know, the fact that he does not have a divided government per se, I mean, he doesn't have a 60-vote filibuster-proof Senate, but at least he has over 51 in Senate where he can get his cabinet secretaries appointed and then things like that that are really helpful in putting legislation to work. I think that's really important. And clearly he has a pro-growth, anti-regulation agenda. He loves debt. I mean, there's no false pretense that Trump is definitely a borrow person. So that means there's going to be a lot of fiscal stimulus and really the fiscal handcuffs are off for the government, meaning if we have to borrow money to impact any type of legislation or ideas, we'll do it. the tech, there's the idea of like breaking up big tech. So if you've heard of recently, there's talks of breaking up Google. Well, the FTC chair, Lina Khan, her term expired, and she's obviously not going to be reappointed. So that means the idea of breaking up Microsoft or Google or anything else by the FTC is gone. So that gives tech a much bigger reign here to do things. So they really rallied today. So that's a potential. And then lastly, you know, in terms of what I think today's market reaction was about, a lot of it was M&A activity, the mergers and acquisitions. So that's generally favorable on Wall Street. So again, without an SEC or an FTC that's going to say M&A is bad, that's going to happen, which is favorable for Wall Street. It's favorable for takeovers. It's favorable for mergers. So all of that are things generally that the markets like. And, you know, certainly, you know, the banking sector here with less regulations on banks, I think, is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Now, but Bill, you had said that he likes borrowing and, you know, all the handcuffs are off. Doesn't that impact the debt? And I thought everyone was worried about the deficit and what that might do putting us into a recession. Any comment on that?
Yeah. Lori, I've spent 37 years listening to people worry about the deficit, and no one seems to really, really want to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a balanced budget in many years. I've heard some great analogies about it. Like the rest of the world is in the same situation. Mm-hmm. They borrow money to fund their operations. Mm-hmm. We're just doing the same thing. That doesn't make it right. It makes it what we're doing, you know, probably slightly more attractive. So when people are looking to buy debt, they buy U.S. debt. Mm-hmm. And I think no matter how much debt we issue, there's going to be buyers. I mean, you take some of the other countries. You know, Argentina has defaulted like three times in my lifetime, but yet they'll issue debt and people will buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, we at least have never defaulted. I mean, that would be a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. But I just think all in all, certainly we should be worrying about more bonds being issued, more a greater deficit, but no one seems to really care. And, you know, the can kick just keeps getting kicked further and further down the road with every administration.
Mm-hmm. So what about when people say we've, you know, some people are upset about the election and they might think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What do you think could be different in a second administration? So, you know, before the election, people were saying he's a known factor. We've had him before as president. People know what to expect. Do you think that is the same for his second run at this, or do you think there could be some different expectations?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I have done a lot of reading on that topic. Trump getting elected the first time, I think he was almost as surprised as the entire country was, and very unprepared for what it meant to become a president. The massive number of appointments, like 6,000 appointments have to be made by the new president, cabinet secretaries, deputies, undersecretary, all those positions. And the country did not want to cooperate. So meaning the Senate did not want to cooperate. They did not want to ratify any of his cabinet secretaries. If you look back, anytime one of his former people comes on, many of them come on as former, you know, chief of this, former deputy that, because they weren't ratified. And it really put handcuffs around his administration to do a lot of things. And that, I think, he learned the lesson there. Meaning, in this case, if he did win, he's going to come on with a lot more experience and bring in people that I think can put in people that are going to get confirmed. On top of that, he has a mandate from the Senate. So he has enough members on the Senate that are GOP, you know, Republicans that are going to confirm his Senate picks. So that gives his administration the ability to actually put things into place and start things with cabinet secretaries and the like to get things going. So hopefully, coming from what he learned in the first term and, you know, the difficulty of that, the 4 years that he ran in between, and then now I think he's bringing more personal experience, but hopefully he's going to surround himself with people who do have real Washington experience, but also experience outside of Washington. Take a case of Elon Musk, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when we're ready for our first break, Bill, so when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how these results could impact various areas of the market. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Are you planning on getting rid of your car? Why not donate it to a good cause? WDIY accepts donations of used cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, and other types of vehicles, even boats, and the proceeds will support your favorite programs. WDIY's vehicle donation program makes it easy to give. The pickup is free, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1, also on the WDIY app. I have with me this evening William Henderson. Bill is Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about the markets tonight, and with a little bit of emphasis about the results of the election and how that might impact the markets. Let me give the phone number again, 610-758-8810. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with us or just give your question to Cindy and Bob will run it in to us. 610-758-8810 if you want to talk live or not talk live. Bill, in light of all of this, what do we think might happen in the markets? Are there some sectors that might do better than others?
Yeah, there definitely are. I mean, I talked a little bit about, you know, if you just look at today's rally in the market, I mean, 1,500 points in the Dow is incredible. And then the S&P rallied another 2.5%, and NASDAQ was up over 2%. But when you kind of break it down, I'll start with tech, technology stocks. I just think there's going to be continued spending on artificial intelligence. I know this is like a broken record. We talked about this last time, but you know, clearly, when you look at the largest tech companies, so your Amazons, Google, Meta, Microsoft, these groups are spending billions of dollars, and they've slated to continue to spend billions of dollars. You know, Amazon alone is looking to spend $75 billion this year, $100 billion next year, and $100 billion in 2026 just on AI. That's unbelievable amounts of money to improve operations. Google has numbers similarly, not quite as large, but similarly as large. And then Meta also spending a lot of money on Facebook and their other groups. Microsoft continuing to reinvest. So these are companies that are just printing money. And what are they doing with it? They're reinvesting at a time when the best thing to buy is AI, improve technology, improve operations, spend, and then, you know, wait for the results. So that's the first sector. The second sector, I touched on it briefly in the opening, you know, banks. With, you know, with less regulations, less regulatory oversight, you know, someone like Elizabeth Warren isn't going to have as big a voice in a Trump administration. So you're looking at less regulations on banks, which give them greater flexibility to make money in varied operations. So, I mean, obviously, you know, they're not going to go back to the 2008, 2009 days when we had to bail out all the banks. But I think they will have the opportunity to expand a little bit beyond the very boring banking that we've seen since the 08-09 crisis. The next area, and this sounds a little, you know, odd, but heavy manufacturing. So take a look. The Dow was one of the – it's the best performer today. You know, there's a lot of heavy manufacturing in the Dow. And I think when you look into why that is, you know, Trump is big on bringing it back to America. Let's build in America, build here, invest here. And there's going to be tax breaks for those companies that do that, which means – if you're involved in chip manufacturing in the U.S., if you're involved in building cars, building, you know, tractor trailers, building anything like that, healthcare, meaning like pharmaceuticals, that's going to be a big area that will continue to do well. You know, energy, certainly, you know, if you think about the, you know, there's going to be a lift on some of the moratoriums on drilling, on fracking. You know, we've been doing a lot of that. I don't think green energy is dead. I do think it makes sense in the case, you know, where we can convert to wind farms or solar or other areas like that. I think it's smart, but we can't just overnight replace everything that's been in place for the last 100 years and say, no more, fossil fuels. It's going to take time. So I do think energy companies are going to continue to do well, especially ones that supply, pipes and drilling equipment and things like that to transport it. Liquefied natural gas, we withdrawing the Jones Act, we're now allowed to transport liquefied natural gas to other countries. So we can pump natural gas, turn it into a liquid, and sell it to other countries. That's a big deal. So that's going to grow. Elon Musk has been obviously part of this, the Trump election group here. And he is certainly green. He's certainly a genius. But he has said, we're going to get government off your back and out of your pocketbook. Now, what exactly does that mean? Look, this is a guy that built a car company that's electric, right? So that's going to continue. But at the same time, he's going to look at other ways where we can expand and create efficiencies. So I think that's really important. And I do think that healthcare, in the sense where new inventions and new creativity is going to be rewarded, and the old way of doing things is not going to be rewarded.
What about with the banks, with the jump in banks, and then they were talking about mortgage rates going up with a fear of inflation? Was that just chatter today, or is that something that we have to pay attention to?
No. Housing is actually, one of the areas that I continued to. I'm not worried in the sense, like again, the GFC where that housing was exploding. I'm worried that the affordability index, so people buying homes. That number is still high. Mortgage rates are still high. They're well over 6%. Meanwhile, the Fed is cutting rates. Tomorrow we'll have a rate cut. We can get into that later on in the show. But it's really just a matter of supply and demand. There's just not enough supply of new homes, but yet the demand for them has not come down. And I saw an article in Axios that said the average age of a repeat buyer of homes in the Philadelphia metro area is 61 years old. So that's a repeat buyer. That's not a new buyer, right? That's like, people that are moving from one home to another. They're the ones that can afford it. They don't care about the mortgage rate. They probably have a lot. They're rolling from one home to another, so the down payment is sort of insignificant because they have one. But, to get new home buyers into homes, mortgage rates have to come down because there is no starter home anymore. Starter homes, $300,000. So it's difficult. So that part is something where, like you said, the banks are involved in that. But remember, banks can lend elsewhere, but they certainly a solid lending market for mortgages is important.
And I don't know if you could comment on this. What about the crypto conversation in banking? Are we going to be seeing more of that now too, do you think? Trump administration?
Yeah, he did mention that gets a little murky because that's not really a presidential thing. He could talk about it and drum it up, but really you're looking at that's the Fed, that's the banking industry. They're not just going to turn over currency to crypto.
Okay.
And it's not big enough to replace the dollar worldwide anyway.
Okay.
And it's just not something that I think is ready to immediately replace what has been over 100 years, supremacy of the dollar.
Okay.
So I think it's going to remain important. It certainly will have a place, and I think he got a lot of support from some of the crypto people in the industry. And I think this election just adds credence to the cryptocurrency market and cryptocurrency industry, and allows it to continue to be an alternative currency, or some consider an alternative asset, or some consider it neither.
Okay. So we've talked about a little bit about what sectors may do well as a result of this. And when we come back from this next break, we can talk about maybe what sectors might be hurt by any parts of the administration. Folks, we are talking with Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy. Phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, also on the WDIY app. The phone number this evening for questions, live or written down, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking with Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors, kind of doing a little bit of a dive into the markets and some of the nuances that we might be paying attention to during the upcoming months, years, slightly. We do have a call off air. Will called in from Irvington, Virginia with a question. Number one, China economy is slowing. If China goes into a recession, will the U.S. as well? That's the first question, Bill. And the second question is, if Trump puts tariffs on, how will it affect the U.S.? How will it affect China? So the first one, if you need me to repeat those, Bill, I can. But the China economy is slowing. If China goes into a recession, do you expect the U.S. to as well?
China is the second largest economy in the world. If they go into a recession, especially a deep one, it will absolutely have an impact on the U.S. There's just no way that a trading partner as big as China with the U.S. cannot impact it if they were to go into a recession. Now, they don't buy as much from us as we buy from them, so you could argue that it's not exactly a one-for-one trade, and that's one of the reasons why Will's second question about tariffs is important. But let's just say if it's a mild recession, and remember, China miraculously has a 5% growth rate every quarter, no matter what. So we don't know if they're in a recession or they're not in a recession, but we'll know it one way or the other. Certainly their housing market has been in a recession for several years, and that's what has really hurt a lot of the emerging markets. But I think it would be a concern. I don't think it's critical to the U.S. You know, we are still large enough and independent enough that we can completely operate. You know, if something like that were to happen, I think it would be a bigger issue if they went into a severe recession. And the second question about tariffs, we saw a little bit of Trump's tariff rhetoric in the first administration. Trump is a bargainer, and I read his book, Art of the Deal, back in like 1987, I think, or 88, and he says we're gonna put a 60% tariff on all goods in China. That's really just to get the Chinese, trade folks to the table and start to bargain and say, okay, let us sell, Cadillacs in China for less of a tariff than there is now, and we'll let you continue to sell everything that you sell here with less of a tariff. And I think that's where he'll go, because really, if you had to start paying, think about how many things we buy from China, and if we had to start paying 3x that or 4x, he wouldn't be a very he wouldn't be very popular president. So I don't foresee massive tariffs. I see the threat of massive tariffs by the administration to get everyone to the bargaining table.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Will. We have another question from Jackie in Columbus. In Columbus, Ohio, if Trump removes taxes from Social Security benefits, will that affect the economy in our country financially? How will it affect the deficit?
So, Laura, I think that's another one of these. Trump has, the president does not have a lot of taxation type powers, he would need to get legislative cooperation on that. I don't know the sum of taxes paid on Social Security and how big it would be, and whether or not it would impact revenues to the government in terms of, if we're not taxing Social Security, what does that mean? Well, that's a source of revenue to the federal government, and that's impactful. So it would have to be made up somewhere else. So whatever that number is, if they stopped taxing Social Security benefits and it was, $900 billion or some number, we would then have to figure out where are taxes going to be raised elsewhere to make that up, or we will have to cut spending. Now, everybody likes to think about the idea of cutting spending. Everybody. I mean, there's certainly always room to cut spending in probably anybody's budget, whether it's a household or a state or a federal government. I mean, Elon Musk has potentially becoming, the federal budget cutter in chief to work on that. So we could see that. I don't know offhand the exact numbers, how big that would be if they were to. I'm sure you can Google it. I'm not.
I don't
want me to Google him while I'm on the phone, but we could find that out. And it would just have to be replaced, or there would have to be a spending offset.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what it does to the economy, it gives seniors or anyone on Social Security that much more money in their pocket. So the knock-on effect would be greater spending, greater investment, or greater saving. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're getting that much more money in your paycheck, most people that are on Social Security are retired, so they're probably going to continue to they'll just spend that much more. So it would happen that way.
Well, I will just add, though, that when we talk about Social Security being taxed, it is on higher income earners as well. So there are a number of people who are on Social Security who don't pay any income tax on it at all. It's a what I call a circular calculation. As to whether your Social Security gets exposed to taxable income depends on how much income you have on your tax return. So it's generally people who, if they've retired and they're on Social Security and they're also collecting a pension, or they have investment income, interest, dividends, capital gains, other, annuity income, then the more income on their return, the more their income, the Social Security gets taxed up to 85%. So always, even if you're at the highest income levels, 15% is not taxable. It's only 85% that's the cap on included right now. And for a lot of people, they pay no income tax on Social Security. So when they talk about removing the tax on Social Security, it's usually on people who already have other sources of income as well on their tax return. So I just want to point that out. So I don't know what the end benefit is. I'm not sure how many people in the country are receiving Social Security that don't pay taxes at all. So it's not necessarily a huge tax savings for all Social Security recipients. It's just higher income earner recipients. So thank you for that question, Jackie. So it's kind of like not sure what would happen, what the fallout would be from that necessarily, without knowing about numbers ahead of time. So, Bill, getting back to kind of some sectors, we talked about the sectors that might benefit. We want to talk a little bit about what might do poorly, and you have about a minute before our halfway point break. So could you start giving us a little bit of insights on that if you can?
Sure. I'll just start with the overall concept. I don't think President-elect Trump hates any particular industry, particularly in the U.S. I think he's just U.S.-centric. So rather than us build cars in, Mexico, he'd like them to be built here. Now, that's not always easy because we don't have maybe the same type of labor force that Mexico has. But I think what you'll see are incentives one way or another to make certain industries more attractive than others, and then the opposite, making certain industries less attractive than others, meaning that's investment opportunities or investment areas maybe you want to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions like Jackie or Will did, you can call in at 610-758-8810, and you can either talk live on air with us or give your question to Cindy and they'll write it down and bring it in. Again, 610-758-8810. We'll continue our discussion with Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors, when we return.
Don't WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And I have with me this evening Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about the markets and some impact of the election. And if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Here's a trivia question, Bill Henderson. Do you know who, which administration, which president started taxing Social Security?
I'll go with Nixon.
Reagan.
Oh, yep. Man, that hurts.
Reagan.
Rockin' Ronnie.
Yep. It was a bipartisan measure, though. But yes, under Reagan, they started taxing Social Security. So it's been taxed since like 1984 or something. I remember when they started taxing it. Okay, so sectors that would do poorly, anything to add to?
Yes.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about green technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ship has sailed, meaning that is underway. It's coming. There's Teslas on the road all over the place. There's other EVs all over the place. We're investing in solar. We're investing in wind. Thank God we're finally investing in nuclear. But I do think it'll slow a little bit. Meaning the mandates for California, we're not going to sell any internal combustion engines and start in 2030. I think those types of mandates are going to go away. I think the federal government is going to remove those type of rules. And I've always said, I think I said it on your show with you, that just let the market figure it out. I've rented a Tesla. I rented it for 10 days in Florida. It was a great car. It was fun. It was interesting. I got to learn it for a long period of time, which does take a while. But up here in the north, maybe not yet. Plus, I have long commutes, and do I really want to be, concerned about that? And that's one of my other pieces that I want to talk about tonight. And I'll get into that when you ask me other opportunities, about the grid and where I see, how are we going to invest in that to add all these EV mandates? So that's one area that I think. It may just slow a little bit. The other area, and I mentioned this before, is healthcare. Just watch for different regulations. But if RFK Jr. gets involved, he's a guy that hates additives, he hates preservatives, he hates vaccines. If elect Trump gives him more powers in say the Department of Health and Human Services, and they start doing a lot of these things, that could add some instability to what we've had as a fairly stable kind of vaccine world in the U.S. Mm-hmm. for a pretty long time. And then, Trump has also mentioned dismantling the ACA, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Now, is that a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? I don't really know. But it certainly would put instability in the healthcare sector.
Yeah, yeah.
When it started, it took a long time for companies to adapt to it and get involved. I think it's been around a reasonable time now where people have adapted. If you want to go on the health exchanges,
yep,
you can get it. So certainly that would add an area of instability. Potentially areas where you want to watch.
Yeah. That's one of my big concerns about that. I've had so many clients who have benefited from the Affordable Care Act. Yep. Bill, we also have a caller on the line. We have Richard from Phillipsburg. Are you still there, Richard? We might have lost Richard. Bill, do I still have you? I think we might have. Bill, do I still have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. We might have lost Richard, and perhaps Richard could give us a call back if he got disconnected. So Bill, yeah, that's one of the areas I think that I don't know if the incoming administration would understand. I mean, obviously they must, but it's such a big thing, that Affordable Care Act. So many people on healthcare, and then of course the fear of pre-existing conditions as well being thrown out. I think we do have Richard again. Richard, can you hear us? Oh, I think we keep losing Richard. I'm hearing clicks, Richard, so I don't know what's happening, why we can't seem to get Richard on the line. But we'll have to watch what happens with that, with the healthcare industry. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, about the trade tariffs. Big deal or no big deal? We talked about that with Will. Anything more you wanted to add to that, or do you feel like we've covered that?
No, I think it's, if we're going to talk about tariffs, let's not leave out Europe, Mexico, and Canada. I think all countries should be on alert to mm-hmm. be asked back to the bargaining table. But I would also say this, that the world is completely interconnected today, like never before. And we saw that during the pandemic, how important supply chains were.
Mm-hmm.
So while tariffs are a big stick that you may want to carry, you don't want to disrupt trade and you don't want to disrupt supply chains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really important. And we saw what happened with simple things like chips, you know, not potato chips, but microchips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a microchip in anything. A modern toaster has a microchip in it. You know, we can't stop the flow of chips. And I know with the Chips and Science Act in the U.S., we're investing here to build microchip technology and building chip technology, especially with AI. But remember, Taiwan Semiconductor, the world's biggest producer of this type of technology, especially the most powerful chips, it took them 30 years to build their successful chip industry. So it's not as if we are going to do that overnight. Even mm-hmm. if we put our best people on it 24/7, it's going to take time. So tariffs are one part of the negotiation process. But remember, you can only push it so far because you don't want to disrupt things that are in place and then you create a worse problem than you're trying to fix with a tariff.
Mm-hmm. Bill, we're going to try to see if we can get Richard on again. Seamus, do we need to bring up his mic, his call? Richard, are you on? Every time Richard tries to come on, we hear a click.
No, that's me.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, you know what, Richard, maybe just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in to us and we'll have to do it as an off-air question, I'm afraid. So is this the question? Here it says another question we had off-air. Let me see if we can then get Richard's question. So Kathy from New Jersey sent in a question, Bill. With Trump, what is the impact on federal taxes? So,
good question. So most likely, one of the things that was impacting, I think, markets a little bit over the summer was that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that mm-hmm. was the thing that's in place right now.
Yeah, from 2017. Mm-hmm.
So there's I'd never put 100% chance on very much, except in this case, death and taxes. Sorry, had to make that so blurry. But I think that'll get, you know, continued, meaning, you know, they'll pass it maybe for another 5 years, potentially not 10 years. But that means the corporate tax rate will remain 21%, which was a huge boom to investment back in the U.S. and investment in the U.S. by corporations. So I think that's an impactful thing. And I think the Tax and Jobs Cuts Act will be extended. And mm-hmm. I think that'll help all you know, taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 was set to sunset at the end of 2025. So 2026, all the old tax rates were going to come back, and we were going to see a change in the federal exemption go back from what is currently 13.61 million in 2024, go back to probably about 6 or 7 million. So more people were getting exposed to federal estate tax under a sunset provision. And if the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is extended, it would also push that out further, I imagined as well. And I agree, Bill, that chances are now, if it's this red wave that we think is going to happen, he would be more likely to be able to pass that, continue that tax legislation. So thanks for your input on that. As far as the CHIPS Act, what about that, Bill? Would he what is his power in, you know, taking this prior legislation away, the CHIPS Act or the the Infrastructure Act?
Yeah, I don't think the important thing here, those acts, the CHIPS Act, the Science and Technology Act, and the Infrastructure Act, I don't know if it's, were all passed, you know, on a bipartisan level. It was the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS and Science Act, and the
Infrastructure?
The Infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Thank mm-hmm. you. So I don't think, you know, the things, the Inflation Reduction Act was probably falsely named. You know, that may be one that's at risk of being repealed. But, you know, who wants to say I'm repealing an act that adds to fix our infrastructure? If you drive mm-hmm. around the road anywhere here, except for Dallas, Texas, which seems to have brand new roads everywhere I ever go there, mm-hmm. All the rest of the roads I drive on are terrible. So we need to invest in our infrastructure. And I just went through a long explanation on why I think CHIPS are important. So if the federal government is going to get into bed with industry, I'd rather see them get in bed in terms of CHIPS and technology and helping to fix our roads.
Okay. And we were going to talk about taxes. And so with Kathy's question, we kind of covered that. A little bit more on housing. So earlier at the top of the show, we were talking a little bit about the, you know, the supply is not keeping up with the demand. We have another call, though, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and take this one. This is Terry from Tampa. We'll see if we're going to get this. I hear clicking again. I think it might be. Can we hear Terry? Terry, can you hear us? I think we're having issues with the live callers tonight. So, Bill, I think Terry had a question about the best investments for retirement plans under Trump. Now, I will tell you, Terry, that we are an educational show. I am licensed. I am not allowed to give any advice on investments. And so we could, in general, talk about just diversification and some sticking to the discipline. Right, Bill? Can you give some tips on just kind of long-term strategies people could use without giving any investment tips?
Sure. So Lori, as you introduced me, I've been in investments 37 years. I've been a buyer all 37 of those years. I've never divested from any investment plans. I'm a long-term buyer. I'm a long-term holder, and I just keep a diversified portfolio of investments. And one thing I think is critical, and you know this, it's not timing the markets, it's time in the markets. The longer you can put money to work for you and the sooner you can put money to work for you, the better off you'll be. And it's easy to build up a lot of money with a little bit of money invested over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And so I can answer that question, whether it's Trump or Biden or Harris or Obama or Bush, the markets have done well under all presidents, under all regimes over, you know, the last 100 years, because I truly believe the markets look at the U.S. economy more so than anything else. If our economy is growing, our people are working and spending, the markets are going to do well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really think that looking forward, you know, and I don't like to look out beyond 3 months or 6 months. I think the economy still remains in good shape. And if we can make the tax cuts stick for another 5 years, it'll remain in better shape. So I just see, you know, make investments and stick to them. And just remember, you know, the longer you can invest and the longer your time horizon is, the better off you're going to be.
And stick to that discipline. Thanks. And Terry, quite often, too, it's easier to stick to a discipline when you make sure you have emergency reserves and funds you need for those short term goals so that you can withstand any fluctuations in the market. So we always talk to our clients about, you know, what cash do you need? What cash do you have? We had Charles from Bethlehem who also wanted to talk live, but I don't believe we have a connection there either. So when we come from this back from this next break, Bill, he was going to ask a question about the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. So we could, you know, just follow up with a little commentary we provided previously. And then we'll talk a little bit about what else is on your radar, Bill, when we come back. Folks, sorry about the live call issue. If you have questions, phone number 610-758-8810. You can give those questions to Cindy and we'll just write them down for the rest of the show. And we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources and volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition every day here on 88.1 FM, streaming on WDIY.org and the WDIY phone app. WDIY. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, you can call in and give those questions to Cindy. She'll write it down. Phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking with Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors. And Bill, we kind of had someone who called about the Affordable Care Act. I think they may be calling back and kind of giving us more details so on that question. So hopefully we'll be able to get back to that. But what else do you have on your radar? I know you watch so many things, and I always like to do the little plug for Bill in that when everyone else was screaming, recession's coming, Bill was like, I don't see it. And we didn't have one. And it's not to say that we won't eventually have one if people say it long enough, but I just like to give you a little plug for that. Now here we did get some further clarification on that question from Charles. Let me see what he said. Repeal of the Affordable Care Act will have a large impact. Healthcare is 20% of the economy. All insurances would be impacted. Children until 26, administrative costs, and eliminating pre-existing conditions. Yes, Charles, I think this would be a number of fears for many people if the Affordable Care Act goes away is, number one, covering children till age 26. I know that was beneficial for my own children, and Bill maybe could comment on that for his own as well. If his children were on health insurance until age 26, it gets them through college and, you know, gets them starting off and that type of thing. And then, of course, the elimination of the pre-existing conditions. How many of us have family, friends, loved ones who probably have some kind of pre-existing condition? I have two close relatives right now who are battling cancer. So I understand about the elimination of the pre-existing conditions could have a huge impact. I'm not sure what that would mean. I don't know what he could do. I don't know how the, you know, population would respond if they were to totally gut that. I don't know, Bill, if you have any comment on that or not. If you don't have a comment on it, we can just move on. But
I just have a quick comment, Lori. I think repealing big legislation is tougher than everyone thinks. You know, that's not something that it's probably not on President Trump's radar to do something in the first 100 days because it would be huge. Think of all the people that are using it that now say, well, what am I going to do? All those phone calls to the congresspeople. Then those congresspeople go and say, I'm not passing. You know, it's just I don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. I just think that's really big. And mm-hmm. unless you have a replacement plan in place, I can't see that happening. That's not an easy win. And if anything, it's a no win, you know, mm-hmm. to do that. I see that as more harmful than helpful. And mm-hmm. it's not something you're hearing people complain about. Like, where was the Affordable Care Act in complaints of voters?
Right. That's a good point, Bill. And it would be so hard to unwind all of the work and effort it took to put it in place with the insurance companies getting on the market and all of that. It would be it would probably be a little bit harder to unwind than one might think. What else is on your radar with our 10 minutes left?
Okay, so tomorrow, you know, is an FOMC meeting. It's a Fed meeting and a press conference afterwards. It's very rare to be on a Thursday. Usually it's Tuesday, Wednesday, but they moved it because of the election. So the markets are widely pricing in a 25 basis point rate cut. I'd pay attention to that. Whether it's 25 or 50, I don't think is as important as what Chairman Powell says at the press conference. You know, are more cuts coming? when are they coming, how frequently, and then, you know, what to expect going forward. That's one thing I'm going to be watching. That's at 2 o'clock tomorrow. I think it's important that we've spent almost 2 years now talking about AI, investing in AI. I opened the show with telling you the hundreds of billions of dollars being spent on artificial intelligence. We need to start showing some results in earnings, meaning, you know, how is it really going to impact a company's bottom line? And I've seen some really good examples of it. You know, if you go on any call-in number these days, you know, you generally get a robot. You get a, you know, if you're chatting with American Airlines, you're getting a robot until you're absolutely desperate and you'll finally get somebody. But it's getting better, so that's saving money. And, you know, Google says it wrote like 80% of its code using AI, but they didn't fire any coders. It just made those coders better at what they're doing and freed up time to do other things. So that's important. Labor has to stay strong. People have to stay employed. You know, we certainly know President Trump's intentions with the border. I'm not going to comment on that sort of in particular, but a lot of people coming across the border, legally or illegally, work. And, you know, if we don't allow legal immigration, who's going to make up those jobs? And if we have a job shortage, that's not necessarily good for the economy. So I'll be watching that. The consumer, this is a new topic. Does the consumer start to get tired here? You know, our economy is 70% consumer-based and have been like crazy continuously. As much as I travel around the country, I'm still shocked at how crowded restaurants, airports, everything is. And, you know, do they finally get tired? But I go back to what I said before. If they're working, they're saving and spending. So it's just something that, you know, when we start to see the little pieces of what I watch in the economy start to crumble and dry up, that's when I'll start to worry. I think mortgage rates have to come down. And the reason they have to come down is we have to bring in first-time buyers and younger buyers. I mentioned 61 years old is the average age of repeat buyers. That needs to be some number lower. I don't know what it is. I would say, you know, 35 or 40, some number that just brings affordable housing to everybody. And I mean that it's going to take lower mortgage rates. And, you know, I think we'll get there. It's just going to take time. And then I mentioned earlier also the grid. So this is the electricity grid in the country. You know, we have three grids, East Coast, West Coast, and Texas. Mm-hmm. Neither of those three are ready for all EV cars. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. We need transformers. We need companies to build transformers. We need to redo all the wiring. We need to do so much. There's 6,500 gas stations in America. How many EV charging stations do we need to build so that you zip up, charge your car, and go on your way? I did read where China now has a way to drop out the battery pack under their EVs, put in a new battery pack, and you drive away. Mm. Now, that's the two Chinese car companies that we will not allow to sell here for a bunch of reasons. You know, we're not sure they're safe. They don't meet all of our requirements. So, you know, but if they're studying that technology, I'm sure we are too. We have smart people that can do it. And then, you know, one concern, we haven't even talked about it. You know, global tensions have not abated. We have three areas in the world that worry me: Israel, Hamas, Israel, Lebanon, Israel, Iran. And then we have Russia, Ukraine, and China, Taiwan. I'll take the last one first. I don't think China has the capacity or the energy right now to try and invade Taiwan. I think they just have a lot on their plate to do so. So I think that'll take some time. Russia and the Ukraine, you know, Trump says, oh, I'll fix that overnight. That's not something you fix overnight. It's almost a three-year war. It's going to take bringing those parties to the table and agreeing on some new boundaries, you know, borders. So that's complicated. Israel, in one day, removed two barriers to continued escalation. The prime minister fired their defense minister, and then, you know, it looks like Biden-Harris is gone, and Trump is not going to allow – he will not be as restrictive on Israel as those two have been. So that's going to get worse before it gets better. So that's an area of concern. And why is it a concern to me? As long as it stays regional and we don't get involved, it'll stay regional. But if we get dragged into any of these things with our troops or more spending than we can possibly afford, that is absolutely bad for the morale of America, and it's bad for the economy. So I'm continuing to watch those to see if they get worse before they get better.
Bill, if I could go back to the housing. Now, I know that Harris, Vice President Harris, had proposed giving like certain tax credits to help first-time home buyers, particularly, you know, young people who were trying to get into a first home. Did former President Trump, President-elect Trump, ever discuss any incentives for home buyers?
Not that I know of, but when I read about that $25,000 help for first-time home buyers, it had to be the first-time home buyer in that generation. So you couldn't come from a household where your parents bought a house. It wasn't as easy as just giving a check to anybody that wanted to line up and buy a house. Mm-hmm. You know, as always, it's in the fine print about these giveaways. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, President Trump is a builder. Everybody knows he made his fortune in real estate. I don't think he wants to kill the housing industry. He probably will tell you flat out mortgage rates need to come down. Somebody needs to bring them down. You know, like he'll say something like that. And, you know, he can't just say it and it'll happen. But I do think that lower mortgage rates, increased supply. Look, around where I live and around the Lehigh Valley, they're building on every piece of land they can. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to build more supply. We're about 2 million units short in the U.S. The most we can build at this pace is about 1.5 million. So we're going to remain, you know, undersupplied for a long time. Mm-hmm. And short housing. And that's a good thing for people that own a home, a bad thing for people that are trying to get into a home.
Mm-hmm. Bill, we covered so much tonight. You're a wealth of information here, and you just got it coming off the top of your head. I know you read all the time, you watch all the time, you talk to people all the time. Any final kind of commentary that people should take away tonight, maybe thinking about the markets?
Lori, if they can take away the three things you just said about me and do it themselves, they'll be that much smarter. There are so many smart people out there. I mean, I don't have enough time to listen to the amount of content that's out there. There's podcasts, there's, you know, audible books. You know, I'm constantly, my wife and my family, my kids, everybody will tell me, Bill, aren't you overstimulated? I absolutely am. I'm constantly bombarding myself with too much stimulation. Like, I don't know how I sleep at all because I'm just either listening, watching, or typing or reading. And I do all three and four at the same time a lot too, so I don't get information. But I would take away, you know, that there's a lot of great content. I you know, my nephew in Tampa sent me this piece. Listen to this podcast, you'll love it. My niece in Colorado sends me podcasts. I get so much information sent to me. All of my kids are great listeners of podcasts. I think it's great opportunity and it's free.
So educate yourself. Educate yourself and stick to the discipline. Bill, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the callers tonight that called in with questions. They were great questions. And Bill, we'll have you on again, probably maybe the end of the year or in January.
Sure, whatever you want.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Bill Henderson, Chief Investment Officer at Valley National Financial Advisors, getting some of his insights on the market, in particular in relation to the recent election. So thank you so much, Bill. Next week, take care, Bill. Next week, we have Daniel Banks from Silvercrest Insurance. He's the president of Silvercrest Insurance, and he's going to discuss Medicare enrollment and what you need to know, because open enrollment is coming up for Medicare. And I know that's a very sensitive topic for many people because it's misunderstood. So hopefully Dan will be able to kind of fill us in on what you have to pay attention to. Thank you, Bob and Cindy. Thank you, Seamus, for being here tonight. Thank you, Bill Henderson. Thank you, listeners. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.